This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers being involved with us. On Sports360AZ.com, we partner with AZ Central Sports. Our television show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 16 airings during the week. We appreciate them being with us as well. So last night, the show today, let me just lay the show out before we get into last night, because I saw something really cool last night I want to share with you guys. So on the show today, it's the start of fantasy football season. Here's how the sports calendar works. Once you get through the slowest week of the year, which is the baseball all-star game, and I am a fan of the baseball all-star game. I like watching it. I watched it the last week of the all-star games. I actually am one of those that prefers watching the baseball all-star game over the NBA. I do not watch the Pro Bowl. That's just low-grade dog food. It's not happening. So I've got to get going with the fantasy football stuff. So Michael Fabiano will be with us today from the NFL Network right there on set, the Hall of Famer. Michael Fabiano from NFL.com and the NFL Network. So we will be joined by Michael in about 15 minutes. I'm getting a lot of questions. Whenever Michael comes on with us, I get bombarded with questions, and most of them are about Ezekiel Elliott. Guys, if you're a Cowboy fan, don't you get sick of this stuff? I mean, really. There's two types of Cowboy fans. First of all, almost all of them are blind to reality. That's A. B, there's the ones that get it, that why do we put up with guys that do things and it's always not my fault, wrong place, wrong time. I wasn't doing 100 miles per hour. What are you talking about? I didn't get into a fight the other night. But what do you mean? Everybody's got it in for me. It's the media's fault. So it's always the media's. It's our fault. These guys. They are not brain surgeons. That is for sure. Look. Zeke. How about Ezekiel? Rather than Zeke means we're tight, we're in. I don't care how many yards you run for. I don't care. You embarrass the organization again. Oh, it's the media's fault. Maybe he was doing 95 rather than 100. I don't know. Of course he's going to deny he was doing 100 miles an hour. Of course, there's always stuff swirling around this guy. I don't know. I kind of like having David Johnson where everything is just normal. I kind of like having Larry Fitzgerald where everything's just normal. If you're the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, oh, it's everybody else's fault. It's the media. We're all the bad guys out here. You just hate. You just hate on us. No, go look at what you've done. I don't care how many touchdowns you have. You embarrass us. But we have this segment in sports where fandom just takes over and you become blind to guys like Ezekiel Elliott always showing up with something around him. So Michael, poor Michael's got to answer all these questions about whether Ezekiel Elliott should be taken in this dude's fantasy draft or not with a third overall pick. Yeah, that's right. If he drove 100, I don't care. How many touchdowns is he going to get me this year? It makes perfect sense. Oh, you're taking all the fun out of the game. No, I'm just, I don't know, kind of like being normal here, like good citizen. Doesn't mean I'm not going to take the guy in the fifth round if he's still sitting there, if he gets suspended for two games. Again, the media's got it out for him. It's all our fault. Right, got it. So we're going to have Michael here in about 10 minutes. And who's his number one pick? What do you do with Adrian Peterson? If you're looking at running backs this year, like there's all these rookie running backs that are getting tremendous run like Christian McCaffrey. What does Michael think about these rookie running backs? As you're getting your fantasy drafts ready, you get to the third week in July and this is when we start ramping it up. I'm fired up. Yeah, I play fantasy football. Yeah, I might be in two leagues. I might be in three leagues. I don't know. Jordy, do you play? Are you a fantasy baseball guy?
Yeah, predominantly fantasy baseball, but I do have a team come football season.
So you do fantasy baseball?
Yep.
That's like way too much work, isn't it?
No, not really. I mean,
do you nerd out on that stuff?
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so who are you starting tonight?
I mean, I have like 12 guys starting because there's 9 positions to fill. So
okay. So who are your guys tonight?
Have Goldie, DJ.
Okay, that's not brain surgery.
DJ LeMahieu. Okay. Second baseman for the Rockies. No one cares about my fantasy team.
No, I do. I'm wanting to know, how is it? I have a hard enough time balancing a football fantasy team versus what are these dudes that do fantasy baseball? That's 12 guys every day.
Every broadcast you call me a seamhead and a baseball nerd. This shouldn't surprise you.
But 12 guys.
Yeah, it's not. It's just part of the routine.
Do you blow off your workout?
No.
Okay, so
do you get up
and the first thing you think about is
fantasy
football? Are you one of those dudes?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Hat backwards, got into the coffee shop, reading the box scores?
No, I have the update sent to my phone, so it's a nice little reminder. And then we have in our league
phone.
Yeah, just little updates. Hey, so and so's off the DL. Okay. 30 seconds.
So you're a stock picker.
Basically, yeah.
And how's your team doing?
Not well.
So every day for a team that blows, you're putting time investing in a team. Don't you pull the plug on this? How much money did you have to put? If you don't mind me asking, how much money did you have to put in to do this?
I think 50.
So $50. Why don't you just pull the plug and go on a date? I mean, come on.
No, that's what I'm.
Have more of a social life than baseball.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. You serious with anybody?
Yes, I am.
So if you were to go off the market permanently.
Uh-huh.
Don't do it, first of all. But if you were to go off the market permanently, this person would consider the fantasy baseball as part of the package?
Yeah, because, well, last year I won, so that funded
a trip. I see.
That funded a trip to Seattle
funded
for us.
Funded a trip.
So.
Yeah, nothing like fantasy sports funding a deal.
Yeah.
All right. I just have to get clear here on this stuff. The baseball team plays tonight in Cincinnati. I'm going to make it real short. The Reds blow, okay? The Reds aren't any good. So for the Diamondbacks, and they've got Robbie Ray throwing tonight. Last time I checked was in the All-Star game. And then they have Zach Greinke throwing tomorrow. Last time I checked, his payroll number is north of $30 million. So this is where these guys have to step up and stop the bleeding. The Cubs are 5.5 back. The Cubs are like this freight train going to chase them down and zoom right past them. Well, Pedro Gomez with us tomorrow on the set at ESPN for our weekly segment, and we'll talk more about them. I want to get into the Houston Rockets, and then the movie I saw last night. And I usually don't do movie stuff until I get to Bill on Thursday, but this movie was so powerful, but I'll get into that in a minute. So, guys, here's the way that business works in the NBA and why I'm so just angered by what is going on here with our basketball team that hasn't seen a postseason game since May of 2010. So the Houston Rockets yesterday were put up for sale. Leslie Alexander bought the team. Let's do the math here, guys. 1993, a guy said, I'm going to buy an NBA team. So in 1993, he bought the Houston Rockets for $85 million. $85 million. A little bit less than Zach Greinke's making over the course of his entire contract. Today, according to Forbes, the Rockets are worth $1.6 billion. Billion with a B. So the owner last week gets James Harden to sign to a 6-year extension. The owner last week gets Chris Paul to come from L.A. to Houston. Now, going back on this, when Chris Paul went from New Orleans to the Clippers' value went up dramatically. These ball players can make values of teams go up, obviously. So the Rockets owner said, we're going to sell. Now let's bring that a little bit closer to home. Phoenix Suns, according to Forbes, Robert Sarver paid $404 million. It was really about $420 when you throw the Rattlers and stuff in there at the time. That was in 2004. Robert Sarver, $400+ million for an NBA franchise. Forbes, in February this year, valued the Suns at $1.1 beyond that. With a B. $1.1 billion for a team that doesn't make the playoffs, for a team that is in the lottery, for a team that every year can't get out of its own way. And people wonder why I sit here and just bang my head against the table when we're supposed to accept that, you know, Josh Jackson's great, man, the Suns are on the right path. Yeah, 7, 8, 9 years of just wandering aimlessly through the forest, and we're just supposed to accept it and forgive it and say, oh, you know, at least they've got it figured out now. No. So when the Rockets are sold, and Mattress Mack, I'm not a Houston guy, but that's the name of the guy. If you're from Houston, you probably are nodding your head saying Mattress Mack. So Mattress Mack, according to the Houston Chronicle, has been the first guy to step up and say, I want to get in on this. And that team's going to go north of $2 billion, which Robert Sarver will see the benefit of that by simply doing nothing other than being in the fraternity of owners. So he's going to benefit, even though his team, once again this year, is being talked about as maybe being able to get out of the basement. Maybe they're going to be in the lottery again next year, and we're supposed to accept it. So these owners know that even though I can put an inferior product out on the floor, this is the worst part of all of this. I can put an inferior product out on the floor. I can put Cesmat and two bad knees. I can put Ham, who's really just a baseball guy disguised as a jump shooter. I can put these guys out on the floor, and I'm still going to make gobs of money hand over fist by putting a product on the floor that's not very good. Oh, but Devin Booker's entertaining. Yeah, he sure is. And do you think Devin Booker's going to sit around once his contract comes up and say, I'm going to be in Phoenix for life? No. If LeBron James can bounce from team to team to team to team to team, you know, the day of a player starting and finishing with the same team doesn't happen. So you can be the biggest Suns fan you want, but this mess that has been created by this owner, and he's going to benefit indirectly off of what's going on in Houston, it's just the worst. It's just the worst. And I want the team to do well. I sit here and pound my fist. I've talked to people down at the Suns that have said, why, you got to just move on. No, I don't have to just move on. Moving on is the problem. We've been moving on since 2010. And this story, the television money that's coming in on the business side in the NBA, this guy's going to benefit like, and he's just sitting back counting his dough with a team that might win 20, 25 games this year. It makes zero business sense. And maybe when Golden State breaks up or these super NBA teams go by the wayside, the Suns might make it through and say, well, we've got this nucleus. I tend to doubt it. Why am I supposed to trust this group here? And what a smart move by Leslie Alexander. I'm going to go get James Harden done. I'm going to get Chris Paul. And then I'm going to sell what I can sell and get the heck out of here, and I'm going to count my money from $85 million initial to where I am now. And Robert Sarver is probably jumping up and down for joy today. It's crazy. I saw Dunkirk last night. We got a little bit of the trailer of it. Guys, you got to go see this. This was one of the most powerful, impactful movies that I've seen in quite some time, and you have to go see it in IMAX. I know this movie has been run down your throats. It's been promoted all over the place, but seeing it last night was just, oh, it was so good. In IMAX, the bullets are flying, the bombs are dropping, but there's not an ounce of blood. There's four different storylines. I mean, you're seeing it here. There's some guys getting blown up, but you don't see their legs flying or any of that stuff. And you see guys just give up, like in this scene here. Oh, so good. So good. You can take me out of it now. But got to see it. And go see it in IMAX. And Goody and I will talk about it. If Goody hates it, then we're going to brawl. We're going to drop down, knock out, go at it. There's going to be some stuff on the awards circuit for this movie. It's well worth it. And some of you may hate it and say, Brad, you blow. So there, I destroyed the Cowboys and got into it with the Suns, and it's a very good opening segment. Up next, we'll have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. We appreciate you being with us. Support our sponsors. We appreciate our title sponsor, Valley Hyundai Dealers. Appreciate their support. Sports360AZ.com, or with the Arizona Republic as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, back for another year. It is great to have Michael on board, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com and the NFL Network. Another year of getting it done. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, man. The offseason just flies by every year, faster and faster and faster. A lot of news going on in this offseason, too, especially over the last week or so with a certain running back in Dallas, which is going to make potential waves in fantasy football, but we'll see.
When do you start seeing the ramp up of questions? I think it's year round now. I'm getting questions to forward to you in April. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't feel like there's an off season for the sport. And just when you think it's plateaued, do the numbers show that it has plateaued?
No, it's still growing. The industry just continues to grow year in and year out. Some of the FSTA numbers, which you can check out online, they're phenomenal, at least for someone like me who has been in the industry for so long. It's an industry that has grown, will continue to grow, and you're even seeing analysts out there who now are almost analyzing like scouts. They almost look like they're writing for NFL teams who are getting ready to draft players in April and May. The level of the analysis has gone through the roof too. There's a lot more options out there as well, and it's been great for me to see because I've been in this business for so long. So I never thought it would get to this point.
Sure.
Where you literally, if you play fantasy sports, can't imagine watching an NFL game without a fantasy team behind it.
Talking with the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com and the NFL Network. Number one overall pick in the draft from your view this year.
Right. Now, how do you go against David Johnson? Best player in fantasy last year at the running back position. When you're a running back and you outscore all but three quarterbacks, that's ridiculous. And he's special. He's Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson, Priest Holmes special. Very versatile. A guy who's talked about wanting to go 1,000 and 1,000. And boy, I hope he does it. And you know, I have a relationship with David. He's a great guy. I root for him. And I just don't see there being a player. And Le'Veon Bell's tremendous. Ezekiel Elliott's tremendous, although there's some question marks with him right now. Sure. Off the field. But David Johnson, to me, is the guy who will be the consensus number one overall pick, and I think you're seeing that in a lot of mock drafts.
Okay, so Ezekiel Elliott, Michael, let's just get right down to it, because every question I'm getting for you is about him as we're sitting here today. Mm-hmm. Do you take him? Do you not take him? What do you think? I'm of the mindset you have to take him. This is stuff in July mm-hmm. that could impact a couple of weeks. You may see it differently.
Look back at just last year with Le'Veon Bell. And one of the questions that I was getting constantly, where do I draft Le'Veon Bell? Where do I draft Le'Veon Bell? And I right. told people, he's still a first-round pick. And if you can get him in the second round, it's stealing. And despite the fact that he ended up missing two games plus another two, I believe. He only played 12 last year, and he still averaged about 20 fantasy points a game. It was ridiculous. And he finished fourth in points at the position. Ezekiel Elliott, maybe he's not as good of a pass catcher as Le'Veon Bell. Maybe he's not as good of an all-around running back as Le'Veon Bell, but he's still damn good. And we saw that last year. So, for example, if the NFL comes down and says, Zeke's out two games.
Right.
If I'm third and he's there, I'm taking him, okay? Maybe I need to focus on getting Darren McFadden at some point in the middle to late rounds. I need to make sure that the back end of my backfield has got some depth in it. Maybe I grab Jacquizz Rodgers, which is a smart move because Doug Martin's going to miss the first three games. So Rodgers is a late-round guy you can start over the first 3 weeks of the season. I'm doing it. Now, if you get into maybe missing four games, and this is just speculation. I have no idea. I think it would probably be two. Well, then you're talking about maybe having to move him down a few spots because – 4 games is a quarter of the regular season, so that is a bigger hit on your fantasy championship hopes. But I can't see moving him down more than a spot or two if I move him down at all. And if the suspension is 2 games, and we don't know how many games it's going to be, and if there is going to be a suspension, it's all speculation right now. But if it's 2, I'm not moving him. I can live without Zeke for 2 weeks, and then when he comes back, you have one of the three best running backs in fantasy football.
Okay, the all-hype team has got to be led by Adrian Peterson based on the questions I am getting. You may see it differently. Give me some of your all-hypers here that you look at in July and say, eh, yeah, looks good, great name, no, not happening.
Well, I'll tell you this. There are a lot of rookie running backs who are getting a lot of hype, a ton. And a lot of it is warranted. You know, Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon, of course, Leonard Fournette. But then you have to beware of some rookies who people might look to reach for. So, for example, a Samaje Perine. Rob Kelly's still in the mix there. Maybe Perine takes the job, maybe he doesn't. That, to me, could potentially be a committee situation. So you have to be careful when you're talking about that situation in Washington, especially in the team that likes to throw the football. Jamal Williams in Green Bay, I like him as a deep sleeper type, but yeah. It looks like Ty Montgomery sort of has a lock on that role when it comes to Green Bay's backfield. So keep tabs on that situation, but you also have to be smart. And there's a lot of talented rookie running backs, and I think this year, more than any other in the last decade or so, could be impacted by rookies at the running back position. One, guys who earn featured roles, Fournette, potentially Mixon, for example, potentially Cook, who come out and have good seasons. But then you've got the other guys who are going to make an impact, maybe on a negative standpoint, on an incumbent veteran who may lose value because a rookie comes in like a Jamal Williams who steals goal line work from Ty Montgomery. So we'll see what happens. You mentioned Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Where are you at on him?
I tell you, it's a hard situation to decipher. Mark Ingram has long been very underrated in fantasy football. Last year, he was extremely inconsistent, but he still finished as the RB10, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. I think he's going to be the projected starter. But I can't see a scenario where Ingram is a featured back. In fact, I can't see a scenario where this isn't almost a shared backfield committee when it comes to running the football. Now, Ingram is going to have more catches, no question. They also have Alvin Kamara there, who they drafted out of Tennessee, who's going to be a pass catcher. Maybe at some point he'll work in the mold of a Darren Sproles. But there's going to be games, Brad, where Adrian Peterson is rolling,
right,
and Ingram's not going to see much of the field. And that's a guarantee. There are going to be games where Mark Ingram is running the ball effectively, and Peterson won't see as much of the field. Now, would I draft either one of them? I never say never. I wouldn't draft Ingram as more than a flex, or in a 12-team league, maybe a low RB2. I wouldn't draft Peterson as more than a flex or an RB4, because I want to minimize my risk when it comes to that. I mean, Adrian Peterson's got a lot of carries on him. The guy's in his early 30s, and two of the last 3 years hadn't really done much of anything.
Right.
Especially last year, averaged fewer than 2 yards a carry and was injured. So there's risk there, so you want to minimize the risk as much as possible. But can I see a scenario where Adrian Peterson rushes for 800 yards and 6 to 8 touchdowns and actually is better than Mark Ingram? Yeah, I absolutely can. You just have to decide where you feel comfortable drafting a guy like AD, where you feel comfortable drafting a guy like Mark Ingram. Anyone who believes that Mark Ingram is projected to be a top 20 fantasy running back in a standard scoring league absolutely positively is projecting Adrian Peterson to miss games. Because I can't see a scenario where Ingram is a top 20 standard scoring RB and Adrian Peterson doesn't miss at least, 2 to 4, maybe more games, because there's a lot of carries to give to those two backs. And I just don't see one of them tipping the scales much more than the other.
Good stuff. As always, look forward to every week during the season. Appreciate your time too, Michael. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network joining us, the Hall of Famer, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com and the NFL Network. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. So it's been a busy couple of weeks on the recruiting front. We're sitting here in the middle of July and players committing right and left. Spencer Rattler already taking himself off the board, going to Oklahoma. And then last night, we have a quarterback in the Valley that gets offered by Alabama. Jason Jewell joins us now, our recruiting analyst, the expert of all experts around the recruiting world, the recruiting roundup that he has every week with Jordan is must see. All right, so Alabama comes back in here, and they go back down to the Southeast Valley, and they make an offer to a quarterback. Let's talk about this a little bit, Jason.
Yeah, so it's a 2019 quarterback out of Chandler High School, Jacob Conover. started last year for the Wolves, helped them win that state title last year in 6A into basically a top 20 ranking in the country last year. And, you know, he hit that Alabama offer. It wasn't his first. He's been offered by a few other schools, Nevada and Oregon State. But he's obviously a very talented kid and only going to be a junior. Went down to Alabama's like a camp and was able to throw in front of Nick Saban, and he walked away with a scholarship offer from the Crimson Tide.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit further. When a player says, I want to go throw in front of Nick Saban, from a strategy standpoint, Jason, how important is it? Is it that important to identify these big schools and go to them, to their camp, rather than sitting out in Chandler and hoping they find you?
Well, especially as a quarterback, you know, college coaches want to see those guys throw live. It's just different seeing them throw live versus on film. They want to verify how tall they really are. They want to throw, you know, I'm not a quarterback guy by any means, but they want to see these kids throw in person. So, yes, it's vital for those kids if they want to be seen to go out and throw in front of these schools. But that also being said, you can't just go to a cattle call combine or a camp that has 1,000 kids at it. The coach needs to know who you are, that you're going, that you're showing up, and when you're there, they need to know who you are. So this was something that was also planned by, you know, Coach Iguano over at Chandler, that he got his film to the right people at Alabama, and, you know, that this kid was known. He just didn't show up, you know, down there in Tuscaloosa and have a big time day and get the offer. It was known he was coming down, and Nick Saban knew who to look for.
Okay, I hear from coaches all the time that parents are writing them about not doing enough to sell their kid. You talked earlier there about Sean Iguano getting in touch with the coaches at Alabama. Jason, what's the fine line here? What's the realistic expectation of what a coach can do, should do for a player without using the parent?
I don't know of a single coach that doesn't want their kids to move on. So
right.
I hear this all the time from crazy parents that this coach isn't doing enough,
right,
and we're going to transfer him out of here. And the bottom line is, if the kid is at a school that gets recruited heavily, like a Chandler, like a Pinnacle, a Chaparral, or a Saguaro, whatever it may be, and those schools are heavily, heavily recruited, you're talking 50 to 100 or more colleges come by in the spring. If that kid goes through spring football and isn't getting interest, not necessarily offers at this point in time, but isn't getting interest, it means that he probably can't play at that level that the parents want him to play at. You know, he's not going to play at Alabama or Nevada or Arizona State, most likely. Now, there's plenty of Division II schools and AI schools that come through,
right,
and recruit the state of Arizona as well. And there's nothing wrong with playing at that level, but for some reason, a lot of parents are like, well, I want my kid to play D1, and that's it. Where I think that's just the wrong, way to go about it.
Okay, let's go down Arizona Avenue to Hamilton. Tyler Shuck gets his deal done. Now they're starting to get the offensive linemen that are protecting him. Arizona State lands a big old Haas yesterday.
Yeah, they've done a fantastic job over the years of producing offensive linemen over at Hamilton High School. And then Hunter McGinnis, a big right tackle, and I mean big too, 6'5" and 325 pounds. He commits to Arizona State. Surprisingly, his only other offer was Idaho, where I thought this kid had a chance to be a borderline, you know, Pac-12, at least a Mountain West level type player. For him to only have two offers, being Arizona State and Idaho, I think is just ridiculous, because the kid really gets after it. He's a mauler on film, gets after it in the run game. He plays right tackle now for Hamilton, probably going to move inside and play guard, but I saw him out at ASU's camp over the summer and really liked just how he'd matured and grown as a player over the last year.
Jason Jewell with us. You can read his content, watch his content on our Brad Sesmat Football AZ show, the recruiting roundup there with Jordan Hamm, and also online. If we're talking about in-state right now, sitting here in July with all these commitments being made, what can you say about U of A's recruiting class in-state right now? I know there's a lot of questions, guys sitting on the fence, specifically talking to the Wildcat fans. How are they doing in-state?
Now, they have two kids committed that I like, both of them. David Watson is an offensive lineman from Amphitheater down there in Tucson, and he's a legacy player. His mom played softball at U of A. His father played football at U of A, so I don't think he's going anywhere, but he's a good football player. He's about 6'4", 290 pounds. And they also got a commitment from one of the most dynamic athletes in the state of Arizona in Cienega's Jamari Joyner. Plays quarterback now at Cienega, and last year they went undefeated during the regular season, went 12-0, got to the semifinals, then they got boat raced by Centennial High School. But this is a kid that I really like. He also has an offer from Arizona State, but he's committed to U of A right now.
Arizona State, how are they doing in state this year?
Well, the only commitment right now is Hunter McGinnis, you know, and it just happened yesterday. But they are in very deep with some very good football players still trying for, you know, Joey Ramos, the very good offensive lineman from Deer Valley. They've offered Robert Jordan, a dynamic defensive end at Mesquite, and a handful of other football players. I think they're, you know, doing a better job as far as being in with some of those guys than U of A is currently. I think that, you know, that ASU is still like in the top five for a handful of other players, where U of A is not currently. You know, they, like I said, U of A is beating them now with more commitments, but it's still really, really early.
Last question, I'll let you go. A player that you think is going to commit, big time player, big name player, here in the next month or so, or are we off the board for now?
No, I think you look at probably the next player that's probably going to do is Joey Ramos. He's narrowed it down to a top five. You know, you look at Kenny Churchwell over at Mountain Point. He has 9 scholarship offers, mostly coming from the Pac-12. He's a guy that I think could do it. Or even Solomon Enos, the wide receiver at North Canyon's got, you know, 14 scholarship offers. You know, he's a guy that could end up pulling the trigger here pretty quick. And he's got plenty of SEC-type schools, the big-time, you know, names going after him.
Let you go off that, Jason. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
Jason Jewell with us there. You can catch all of his content online at sports360az.com. The dean of recruiting in the state of Arizona, no question, no one better at it than Jason Jewell. Sports360az.com. Our television show tonight airs on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 16 airings during the week. Appreciate you checking us out. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, as we sit here on Tuesday, we know that the NFL gets started this week, and it's fine to a point. I've been on record, those of you who are just finding us for the first time, I really don't like the month of August. I think for fans, it's the biggest ripoff in all of sports, and that is preseason football. I think it's terrible for the players to be put in harm's way. Every year when we get to September, early September, there's dozens and dozens of players whose seasons are over for meaningless exhibition games that don't really mean much. Fans go put down their hard-earned money and watch this stuff. Why? I don't know. I get it. It's part of fandom for some. Others, it's like, really? Like, I'm so excited. I get to see my team come to town. Yeah, with a bunch of guys that aren't going to play. Or they may play one series. So I'm laying this out now in mid-July, that I'm going to get grumpy on occasion when it comes to analyzing anything at all that has to do with preseason football. I'd much rather talk fantasy football for an hour straight than do anything around what takeaways did you get from the third string quarterback in the fourth quarter of an exhibition game against guys that are barely hanging on, and fans are paying money and players are getting beat up and their bodies are being worn out. And the league says, yeah, we're really concerned about the health and safety of our players. And the Cardinals are going to play a month worth of these games. It just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It's not even logical when they say, oh, we care about player safety, and you have to go through this whole month that's nothing more than a money grab. That's all it is. So on Friday, there'll be the run test. And we'll go out to the run test. The run test is fine. Run test in Flagstaff was far more entertaining than the run test down here, because you'd have players that said, well, I'm in shape. And they'd go up to Flagstaff in elevation, they'd be doubled over, puking, not make it, pass out, whatever it would be. And they just weren't in shape. Run test down here will be the kickoff of it. And then we're going to go through, you know, weeks and weeks of walking through drills and waiting to talk to guys about how great they're going to be this season. I remember last year just how awful it was, just dreadful to talk to players. I remember I had Fitz on. We were doing a thing with Fitz, and just he's it's like, yeah, I'm just trying to stay out of harm's way. You know, I'm doing my thing. But this fake football stuff that they have in August is just the worst. On the college end, not so bad. So tomorrow morning at Arizona State at 7 a.m., they have an event where they break the rock. Jordan, have you been to Break the Rock? Have you done that?
I have, yeah. I was 2 years ago I was out there.
Yeah, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. Jordan's camera just died, but it's fine. So that's tomorrow morning at Arizona State. And then Todd Graham on Thursday is going to meet with some of the media. Everybody's invited. So there'll be a ramp up of for Arizona State. And U of A along the same lines. Next week, U of A and ASU are both going to be out at Pac-12 Football Media Day. And so that's something to look forward to on the college end. But beyond that, this is where people get really surprised. When I'm doing recruiting here in July, it's high season. Like next Monday, Chandler schools go back to school. Hamilton, Basha, Chandler, Perry, Castile, ACP, all of the Chandler schools, and that's the most powerful football region on the high school end. They go back to school next Monday. There's 0 week games. We're at the, what are we at, the 18th today. It's like a month from now. It's like 4 weeks away, and the high school season gets going. And so the beauty of the weekend where you have the Thursday night NFL game, even though it's slop, it's still, for some, it's football. Friday night, you go out to a high school game. That's cool. Saturday, you go over, check out the college games all day and all night. Sunday, you have the NFL. Monday, you have the NFL if you're into the Monday Night Football thing. And it just goes like a flash. But you got to get through the month of August. And I think for fans that I've talked to, there's two types here. There's the ones that just don't care how bad the football is, don't care that Carson Palmer is going to take like three snaps or that David Johnson's going to run the ball just a few times. They don't care. And then there's the others that take my side of the street that are, why are we putting our best, most talented employees? If any business, put yourself in as your, if you're the owner of a company and you know your key employees, not that every employee is not important, but if you've got a key employee, like in a football team, David Johnson's a key employee, Larry Fitzgerald's a key employee, why would you ever put them out in space for things that could harm them and keep them away from your company for the year? Why would you do that ever in any business? Makes zero sense. It's like people last night I saw on Twitter were complaining about Lonzo Ball not being part of the, it's summer stinking league. Are you hearing yourselves? Who cares? We didn't win summer league. Oh, yeah, Lonzo's not any good. Oh. I mean, come on. It's just, so yeah, I'm kind of getting on some fans a little bit. Do I, you know, fans have their right and their space to spend money. I would say they have the right to waste money. They have the right to burn money. It's like guys that open restaurants, former athletes. What are you doing with your retirement? I'm opening a restaurant. Great. Take a shovel and pick it up and throw the money right into the furnace and watch it just go. Restaurants just go. Anyways, so the next few weeks is going to be tough. The good news is in all this rant is that we have a baseball team here that is interesting. They're not good right now. That's part of the season. You're going to have stretches where you're not good. So tonight, I don't even have to wait that long. They play at 4 o'clock this afternoon over on Fox Sports Arizona. Tonight, they play the Reds. The Reds are not any good. There's no other way to put it. You've got two of your big guns throwing the next three games. There's really no excuse. In fact, you have all three of your starters, your big ones. You've got Ray, Greinke, and Taijuan Walker. There's no excuse to walk out of Cincinnati dropping two of three or being swept. I mean, really none. The Reds just got swept by Washington. They've given up. They're looking forward to the Bungles season there in Cincinnati. So tonight, you know, the Cubs are sitting there 5.5 back. This is the time where you watch games and you can actually start scoreboard watching and say, man, Robbie Ray's on the mound and they're losing and the Cubs are winning again tonight. It's going to go down to 4.5. These guys don't wake up. A week now, 2 weeks from now, they're going to be trailing in the wild card. And therein lies the really fascinating conversation of all this. 18th of July, up 5.5 in the wild card. 25th of July, let's just say, they're up one in the wild card. Let's say the 30th of July, they're down three in the wild card. And now you're sitting there with that $30 million plus contract of Zach Greinke's. And you know that Paul Goldschmidt is eventually going to hit the open market unless you do something here. And is there any way, any shape, any form, anyhow, that they're going to be able to sign Greinke and Goldschmidt to the same deals, keeping them in place here? I'm going to talk to Pedro about that tomorrow, because if you're the Diamondbacks, you have to start looking at big picture. You're still 5.5 up at the break, at the All-Star, or not the All-Star break, the trading deadline. You're in pretty good shape. If this thing goes into a free fall, you go through your rotation a couple of times and play as poorly as they've played, this isn't just a little trend here. This is about a 9-game, 12-game stretch where they've just not played well at all in most any way, shape, or form. And most notably to me, they're not hitting the ball. They're just not hitting the ball with any consistency. So, you know, I'm going to be watching that tonight. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen, as always, the Iron Man. Day in and day out, playing a little hurt or at 100%. He's here day in and day out. Jordan Hamm getting it done today. Eric is off. We didn't blow him out. It's just, you guys, if you watch the show, you know the deal. Eric gets more vacation than all of us here on the staff combined. And Haley Stasiak helps out as well. Our television show is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 12 airings throughout the week. Make sure you check it out. If you see and watch this show daily, you see our sponsors, please support them. We are self-funded. Without them, I'm not here doing this. And it's coming up on 6 years I've been doing it because of people like that that have stepped forward day after day after day. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.